It's always a good time to avoid the hustle and bustle at the grocery store, not to mention the crowds. HelloFresh delivers everything you need to get dinner on the table directly to your door, contact-free. Go to HelloFresh.com/footballers12 and use the code footballers12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. You don't want that hustle, and you definitely don't want the bustle. The bustle is dangerous. What is the bustle? I know what the hustle is.
The hustle is quick movement. The bustle, I think, is thorn-related on
bus. Oh, really? I'm not sure.
Is that a thistle joke?
Yeah, I was going for some kind of thistle in
a
bus.
Do we have to restart the show?
Oh, man.
What? Oof.
That's not great.
I assume bustle is like people.
Thank you.
Like in New York City, right?
Uh-huh.
And you're on the.
They're bustling everywhere.
Well, you're walking around on the street and you're rubbing shoulders with people. Is that the bustle that you're trying to avoid at the supermarket? Brooks, help me here.
I don't know, man.
You don't know. Al, you're a man of the people.
It's like when you're on the dance floor. You know, don't just stand there.
I'm really sorry, Jason. I'm really sorry, Jason.
Thank you. Here's a nice definition online. To be bustily astir.
Wait, that's the definition? Can I get a definition on the definition,
all right,
please?
Here we go. Here's a better one. To move briskly and often ostentatiously bustled around the kitchen. This is Google. This is not me. You cannot blame me for this.
So we're ostentatious now.
Yeah.
With our bustling.
I apologize
for inquiring. Very sophisticated.
Tuesday, March 30th, the Fantasy Footballers, Jason Moore, Mike, the Fantasy Hitman. Right, I'm Andy Holloway. Free agency winners and losers show today.
Oh, baby, and some trades.
Yeah, there's some trades we have to talk about in our news segment. And breaking out the Dynasty download today, this off-season as we get ready for 2021. Well, it's not off-season for Dynasty Leagues, right? It's just always.
Yeah. I mean, well.
This is near prime season.
What do you call it?
Season? I mean, honestly.
It's in-season and season?
Yeah, it's the 2021 season. Like, it begins as soon as the other one ends.
I do feel like this is Dynasty season.
Yeah. That makes sense. So we have Dynasty Download on the show today. And Mike broke out a new drop for us. So,
oh, man, did I.
Twitter at the FF Ballers, thefantasyfootballers.com is the website. Jointhefoot.com is our community of patrons supporting the show. If you are looking to get into a league, I have seen many folks come out over the last couple weeks, and they have been very thankful that they found footclanleagues.com, which is one of the perks of supporting the show. You get like-minded, fantasy-crazy people that want to be in leagues together and be active and make trades and actually participate. And, you know, it's fun to win a league where the other 11 people don't play. It's really not.
There is a lot of bustling in those forums.
Yes, which you might not have in your home leagues. So you can check that out at jointhefoot.com, and let's talk news.
News and notes from around the league.
Just goes to show, it's all of human history, still no thistle jokes that have landed. None.
That's right.
I'll get one.
Well, we know Al Borland really enjoyed
that. Because he knows. He knows I will not give up.
Yeah, unfortunately. All right, well, NFL owners anticipating what we've been anticipating, a 17-game season for the NFL. This means if you adjust your league to kind of match the what I would say we'll recommend and everybody will be doing, you're going to have a 14-week regular season for the first time in history. And bye weeks to deal with, maybe in a different fashion, and then you're also going to be looking at benchmarks for players in a whole new light. I mean, we're going to be redefining what a good season is. We being media, those that you're listening to talking about seasons, 1,000 yards is not 1,000 yards.
And, you know, in addition to that, we finally become week 17ers ourselves. Our championship week will be in week 17. We've always looked down upon week 17ers, and now we have joined them. If you were a week 17er,
just stay the same.
Stay right there.
Yeah, don't adjust anything. Big trades. Big trades. And I'm glad that these happen now, to be honest with you. It's going to make it easier for us to we're going to be breaking down rookies. We're going to be talking about the draft. And if we make a bunch of predictions and then draft day trades happen, it doesn't help anybody. But they happened ahead of time. The 49ers received the number 3 overall pick. All they had to do was give up the number 12 overall pick, a third rounder
this year,
and first round picks in 2022 and 2023.
All in. All in, baby.
All in on insert name here because we don't know.
But which one?
Definitively whether this will be. Yeah, handicap it right now. Where are you at with the number 3 pick? What quarterback do you believe?
Oh, man.
You've got to bet your house on something today, Mike. That name is who?
Well, so the 49ers, if you haven't been paying attention, are throwing smoke bombs and smoke screens everywhere because it was what is out there in the media right now, and maybe the Jets are smoke screening as well. Everyone is throwing excessive smoke bombs. But what we believe today is Zach Wilson will be the number 2 pick. So that leaves of the first round quarterbacks left, you have Justin Fields, Trey Lance, and Mac Jones. Now, here's where the sleight of hand is happening. Because I would think it would be Justin Fields. I still think that Justin Fields is the second best quarterback in this draft, and we've heard him linked to the number 3 pick. But now the 49ers were going to attend a pro day, except Justin Fields' pro day fell on the exact same pro day as Mac Jones.
Can't be two places at once.
You cannot be. Well, you can send some representatives from your team, except they are sending the big dogs. They're sending Kyle Shanahan and General Manager Lynch to the Mac Jones pro day. But is this simply a tactic to throw people off the scent that they do not want the number 2 pick to end up being Justin Fields?
All right, so make your pick. Who do you believe that the San Francisco 49ers will pick at number 3?
Justin Fields.
Andy?
Mac Jones.
I am Justin Fields. I still think
Not falling for it, Shanahan.
I was trying to find the angle because I was like, well, what advantage are they gaining? But what you're saying is right about not wanting to
not wanting another team to trade with the Jets,
right?
And go take Justin Fields at number 2.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm gonna stick with. I think Mac Jones is.
It's too obvious.
The problem. What's interesting is look at last week. You had mock drafts that you made fun of here on this show.
Yes, doo doo
that
box.
Had Justin Fields dropping to 9.
Those look better now.
And what? Look, here's what is so, I'm not going to say, the word's not hypocritical. I don't even know what it is. Inconsistent, annoying. Every year it's consensus. The consensus, right, that has Paxton Lynch in the first round and Dak in the fourth. Like, you can be different. If you have somebody that, you always speak highly of Kyle Shanahan. If Kyle Shanahan goes Mac Jones at 3, in the face of 1,000 Justin Fields truthers,
mm-hmm.
What are you supposed to do? Take the guy everybody says you should take, Chicago?
No.
That's a good jab right there.
Absolutely not. If Kyle Shanahan's taking Mac Jones, then he is their guy. When you move up to number 3 and you're burning 2 extra first-round picks and a third,
mm-hmm.
you are okay with
two outcomes.
You are okay with at least 2 guys because Trevor Lawrence is number 1. At least we have the Jaguars not doing the, well, I don't know who we're going to take number 1.
Yeah.
Get out of here when teams do that.
Gardner
crap.
Minshew's our guy. Yeah.
Like the Cavs when they landed the number 1 pick for LeBron James. Oh, we don't know.
I just think more teams, you subject yourself to criticism when you don't go by consensus. When consensus happens and it doesn't work out, you get to look at everybody, all your friends, and say, well, everybody had them there.
Well, I don't think it's just consensus because they are also going off of not just, and I'm talking about the big media mock draft of people. They're not just going off of their scouting of these players. They're plugged into teams. So they are trying to gleam and siphon as much information as they can and then put players in draft positions based off of that news.
And that's
as well.
What makes it really difficult to believe it could be Mac Jones, because Mac Jones fell to 12 in most mock drafts. And that's not to say he would get there. And if that's your guy, you go get him. But to trade three firsts and a third to get a guy who might have fallen to you really early seems
and this is a draft with a lot of quarterbacks that might go in the first round and a lot of teams competing for franchise quarterbacks.
Right.
So there could be a lot of movement, or would have been a lot of movement on draft day. Here's what part two of this news is, and I've read what Kyle Shanahan's saying, and you know, Jimmy Garoppolo is on this team. Ian Rappaport coming out saying he's the starter for 2021. I fully believe that. I believe Jimmy Garoppolo will start and be their quarterback next year.
So they're drafting Trey Lance.
Ooh.
Well, I know you're saying that because Mac Jones, you believe, is more starter ready, but
right. And this Trey is a Lance team is with a development.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think it has to be a developmental quarterback to sit a guy down for a year. You can do that with really good quarterbacks and have it end up the way you want it to. This team believes that last year with the injuries, it was an anomaly. They have a bunch of pieces back and they're ready to win. And integrating a brand new rookie quarterback does not equate to getting back to the Super Bowl.
Agreed.
I mean, it just doesn't. So for fantasy purposes, we're going to have to navigate this. We're going to have to look at Jimmy Garoppolo and say, okay, he's the devil we know in this offense, and what it means for Debo and what it means for Ayuk and what it means for this offense. And that's a lot of times better than trying to project what a rookie might do if he comes in a week. Now, he might come in halfway through the year
if
it's going wrong.
It could remind you of the Alex Smith-Pat Mahomes situation, where Alex Smith was a good-ish quarterback.
The Kansas City was good that year.
Yeah, absolutely. And they
played the whole year.
He played the whole year, and that wasn't because Patrick Mahomes was a developmental guy who sucks, obviously. But it worked out for everybody.
All right, and then there was a follow-up trade. The Miami Dolphins playing full-on fantasy football.
Oh, man.
And they traded the 12 they just had picked up, and they got the 6. And essentially, how do we break down what the Dolphins managed to do here? Do you have a good summary for us?
I believe that what happened was, like, the overall is the Dolphins moved down
three picks
from 3 to 6 and got a first-round pick to do so. And they weren't going to draft a quarterback. So this is an incredible move by the Miami organization.
Yeah, they still have the first and third in 2022 from the 49ers.
Correct. And I mean, they're set up. Miami over the next couple of years have multiple firsts or seconds or thirds, like almost every single year for the next three. On the flip side, the
Which
Eagles.
None of it will matter if they have the wrong quarterback.
That is true. on the flip side, the Eagles moving from 6 to 12, that says that they are not really looking at the quarterback market.
They're not counting on
it. Right. They're not counting on that. So Jalen Hurts is a much higher odds to be the starting quarterback for 2021.
Without question. Yeah. There was some talk that they had interest at 6, but weren't confident that a certain quarterback would drop there.
Lawrence. I would take him.
Yeah.
If he drops, we'll grab him.
We haven't mentioned the T.Y. Hilton signing yet on the show.
No.
It was breaking news kind of later on the Thursday episode.
Okay.
So just want to make sure we...
1 year, $10 million contract. Oh, it was breaking on the Thursday show. Mm-hmm. The Ravens have signed Sammy Watkins, formerly of the Chiefs, to a 1 year, $5 million contract.
Which is good because the Ravens have been striking out on wide receivers.
Some might say they still did.
Oh, some might say that. And this is We talked about this a little bit in the office, but this is unfortunately a symptom of you going all in on that offense. You want to be a complete run first team. You want to be a Lamar Jackson led offense, which can absolutely work, but these wide receivers get paid for production. And you have, and it was like T.Y. Hilton offered more money to go to the Ravens. Who is the other wide receiver?
Juju
was offered more money to go to the Ravens, but
they were courting Kenny Golladay and everybody. They knew they needed a wide receiver, and everybody said,
but these guys know that if you go to Baltimore, your numbers are going to go down, and then when it's time to negotiate your next contract, teams will say, okay, well, show me your numbers. And this is an issue that Baltimore is going to have to live with, that it's going to be difficult to court an elite free agent wide receiver. You can draft them, but bringing them in is going to be tough.
So they managed to court one whose numbers couldn't go down.
That is correct.
With Sammy Watkins. I mean, $5 million for a one-year deal for Sammy Watkins screams a final contract, I'm sorry to say.
Maybe.
He will be better for them, but irrelevant for fantasy.
Yeah.
If you're irrelevant with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, you're probably irrelevant in the smallest pie offense in football.
He made so much money in Kansas City.
Yeah. I liked that he retweeted the remember the Jacksonville game? First game of the year last year.
Oh, yeah.
Three touchdowns?
Yes. And he looked awesome.
He retweeted that when somebody tweeted, Sammy Watkins is electric, and it was that game. That's the most recent archive he had.
He was electric in that game.
He was
game.
Awesome.
What was that? Was that channeling a year's worth of electricity into one moment? I mean,
I don't know.
We all saw it. Made me feel real dumb.
Oh, dude.
For a game.
Because he actually looked great. He made these cuts and had the speed that was outstanding, and then poof. But he was unnecessary, right? Like, completely unnecessary.
Well, no, he was very necessary, because then Tyreek Hill got injured. And it was Sammy Watkins. Oh, thank you. Then it was Sammy Watkins is going to be the best pick in all of fantasy football, because he's now the number one wide receiver for Kansas City. And it was just...
I forgot about that.
Then he was the worst pick, because no one wanted to drop him.
I had him. And it was like, do you trade Sammy Watkins?
Well, first you play him for a few weeks, then you decide, can you trade him?
To be fair, I played him week one. And it was awesome.
Yeah. All right, DeMarcus Robinson, Chiefs re-sign him to a one-year deal. Leonard Fournette is re-signing with the Buccaneers. It's a one-year deal worth up to $4 million. I was telling these guys before the show, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I don't know if you know this, Brooksy.
It's hot.
They are returning every offensive and defensive starter from their Super Bowl championship win. That is the first time a team has done that since 1977. So
absurd.
They said, this worked. Let's try again.
Yeah, I mean, you've got an elder statesman in Brady and an old coach in Bruce Arians, and they're like, I don't care about future cap problems.
We don't like change.
Just get everybody here. Let us try to run this back again. Eventually, when it stops working, we're going to bail and leave you with the bill.
Yes.
So the Bucks are going to be bad here in a couple of years, but... In the meantime, this is awesome for them.
They might get a couple
but Bruce
Super Bowls.
Arians, Rob Gronkowski, and Tom Brady will all be on a boat somewhere, and they won't care at all. Jets signed Tevin Coleman, formerly of the 49ers, to a one-year contract. Coleman doing his best Sammy Watkins impression, transitioning to a franchise to finish his career.
The Michael P. Ryan lives to see the draft.
I don't know if anybody lives. Everybody dies in New York.
I'm just saying, you would have the Jets were in play.
They still are.
Sure, if Aaron Jones had gone.
That's what I mean. They were in play in free agency to land one of the big guys, or at least make a push.
And they landed Tevin Coleman.
And they got Tevin Coleman.
Got it.
I'm with you. I fully expect the Jets to draft a day two running back. But in the game of dynasty, man, it's all about taking those huge swings and see if they pay off.
Matt Breida, one-year deal, formerly of the Dolphins, now with the Bills, staying in division.
Bills were another team that we're getting links to some of these high-profile running backs.
Yeah, but these don't matter when it comes to the draft. A lot of times people see news like this, Breida signs, Coleman signs, and they think, oh, well, maybe that means the Bills will not look at running back or the Jets won't look at running back in the draft. And the reality is what this says is they know they need running back, and they don't know how the draft's going to happen yet, so these guys are replaceable.
I think the Bills are less likely today to draft a day-two running back now with the addition of
Breida. It's going to be a tough decision for them. With all, because Josh Allen's about to get paid, and you have passable backfield.
They've spent a third round pick on a running back 2 years in a row. That's a lot of draft capital on the running back position.
They got to go day one. Good point. All right,
don't do it, Buffalo. Oh, that would be so sad.
Free agency winners and losers coming right up. But first, I want to thank Harry's for supporting this podcast. Mike, too often we're choosing between quality and a fair price.
Too often.
And I won't stand for it, and neither will Harry's.
Neither will I.
You won't stand for it, and we will sit for it, but we will not stand. Award-winning blades, factory direct prices, you know the story with Harry's. And for a limited time, Harry's is offering their starter set plus a free body wash for just $3 at harrys.com/footballers. Will they let me pay more if I feel like that's insulting?
No, they refuse.
They refuse. Yeah. They will not. If I put in a higher denomination,
they say no, sir.
Okay,
You say because they don't stand between those two choices.
$3, close, comfortable shave. Been using Harry's for years and years and years. They believe in quality so much that they control their whole manufacturing process. Bought their own factory in Germany, and didn't know this. Mastered the technique. The technology to create a Gothic arch, the gold standard for razor blade grinding.
Ooh.
I have not done that. They have. For a limited time, Harry's has an exclusive offer for listeners of our show. New customers get a Harry's starter set and a free body wash for just $3 at harrys.com/footballers. That's over $16 in value for $3. You get a 5-blade razor weighted handle, foaming shave gel, a travel cover, and a travel size body wash. It's an incredibly great deal, but act fast as supplies will go quickly. Go to harrys.com/footballers to redeem your offer.
We're gonna win. We're gonna win!
Is that a shuffleboard that showed up on that graphic?
Oh, I did
not see it?
I did not see it, sorry.
It was.
Was that there last year when we did the show?
It was.
Okay. Well, it's new to me.
Well, we didn't used to be able to see the graphics during the recording.
That's true. So they're all new to us this year. Free agency winners and losers. It's been a busy few weeks in NFL news, and we are breaking down who we think are the biggest winners and losers for fantasy football purposes, right?
Yes.
And that's the focus for today's segment is who's going to help your fantasy football team. Or hurt it, and who was devastated by some of these moves. So, Jason, why don't you kick off our free agency winners section right now?
So, I've got 1.5 guys here, because I want
1.5?
That's Mo Alley Cox.
That's right, it's Mo Alley Cox!
I was going to go with a CBS sitcom joke, but I like the Cox joke better.
No, I'm gonna give a shout-out here to Breshad Perriman, because Breshad Perriman, you remember the end of the season before last when Jameis Winston was leading the Bucs, and all of a sudden, last man standing was Breshad Perriman as Godwin and Mike Evans got injured, and all of a sudden, Breshad Perriman was I think over that last month, he was the number one wide receiver. He was great. Obviously, he went to a situation that was terrible, awful, horrific, and now he signs with the Detroit Lions in a situation where he is, I think he's the one. I think he is the number one wide receiver for that team, and Jared Goff is...
You're not in on Tyrell the Gazelle?
I mean, Tyrell is, he's always been a one-trick pony to me. And I think Breshad Perriman is better than Tyrell. But it's those two guys right now. And Goff is an upgrade. You might not like Goff in general, but he's an upgrade for Perriman. So he's one. But I think the biggest winner is actually someone I'm rising on for fantasy purposes that I have been out on. Just out. I don't like the player.
You didn't put him in the dock because you wanted to surprise us with this.
Yes. Is Daniel Jones.
Oh, baby.
The more that I yes. think about it, I think Daniel Jones could be a good fantasy quarterback this season.
Yes.
They went out and they got Kenny Golladay, obviously. They got Kyle Rudolph, which is helpful.
Maybe.
Did that go through?
I believe it did, but there was a bunch of weird stuff going on with the contract. But Kenny Golladay helps. You know, we saw this last year, obviously. Stephon Diggs goes to the Bills and really makes a difference for Josh Allen. Kenny Golladay was the best wide receiver on the market, and Daniel Jones gets him. And I think something that is being lost is we talked about this a little bit, but Daniel Jones is a great mobile quarterback. He has a high rushing total usually. But what happened last year was he got really injured and then missed a game and then came back for one game and then missed a game and then played a couple games. Up to week 12, he was on pace for 586 rushing yards.
That's a good amount.
That's great. And then after that injury, he was averaging 6 rushing yards a game. He was immobilized completely. So I think with his rushing baseline and Kenny Golladay, maybe Kyle Rudolph, I think he's a big winner.
I think that he is in a position where that assertion makes sense. But you have to believe either in – you got to be in or out on Daniel Jones as a player. Kenny Golladay won't make you a better player if you don't – you know, if you're not able to take the next step. So depending on what you believe about Daniel Jones
– I think he can make you a better fantasy player, though.
Sure, if he's the quarterback for the whole year. There have been New York fans and people expecting change at quarterback to come sooner. Now, they'll give him this year.
Yeah, so but you got to talk to Gettleman.
Well, last year there were talks of making changes.
Oh, man. We haven't had Dave on the show. Gettleman.
What about the Perryman? What about the Perryman piece there? Because I think they'll just draft. I think they're going to draft a superstar rookie wide receiver. That will almost
be
assured.
So sad for that rookie wide receiver. I'll bet you're right. I mean, they have very few weapons there, but I think this could be a team when you look at the transactions they've made that could be playing the longer rebuild game. In which case, maybe they decide to try to deal with the trenches and upgrade the defense. So I don't think it's a lock that they take a superstar wide receiver.
Yeah, I don't either. I think it's just me, but for them to spend a high pick on a wide receiver right now doesn't make sense.
I think they'll do it.
Teams do stuff all the time that I think doesn't make sense.
They want to win this year.
Okay.
They do. Oh. They 100% do.
They should change divisions.
No, man. They're in.
They're not winning.
Biting kneecaps. Mike, who do you have as your biggest winner of the offseason?
Well, so I kind of think about it in a couple different ways where we've talked about it. It wasn't the most active free agency period. To me, the biggest winner is Aaron Jones, who gets paid a good amount of money, and his situation doesn't change. He comes back. He's going to be incredible for fantasy. Well, his situation did change because he's still the starting running back for the Green Bay Packers with Aaron Rodgers, and now Jamal Williams is not there to take as much passing work away from him because A.J. Dillon, I don't think right now, I'm not going to project that A.J. Dillon will take away as much passing work or two-minute drills as Jamal Williams did to Aaron Jones. But to talk about someone who actually moved teams, right, Ryan Fitzpatrick is not just the biggest fantasy winner. He's the biggest NFL winner. You had rumors of him maybe he's going to retire.
John Clayton bringing that hot news.
Yeah, thanks, Clayton. But do you not remember the
commercial?
I thought that one
that was great.
Yeah.
But now he should be the starting quarterback. He has to win the job. Wink, wink from Taylor Heineke. But he's going to be the starting quarterback from a playoff team last year who has an elite defense. He's surrounded by great offensive weapons. Like Ryan Fitzpatrick could go to the playoffs this year.
If they don't, it's his fault completely.
Probably.
They were already in the playoffs.
Probably because they made the playoffs with a really bad quarterback play last year. So he would be my guy. I mean, you have.
And that's trickle down, right?
Yes.
Is that Terry McLaurin?
Absolutely.
Terry McLaurin's ceiling changes, right? I mean,
yes.
you go from a player that, locked and loaded wide receiver 2 to, hey, this guy, if things went the right way,
could be a top 10.
He could be a top 10 wide receiver.
100%. He can. You have, so last year, he was the wide receiver 21. He essentially had three terrible games. I'm talking about Terry McLaurin, but three terrible games and four receiving touchdowns with terrible quarterback play, still ended up as the wide receiver 21. And he was still very consistent for fantasy. But now you have Ryan Fitzmagic, who he's legendary for fantasy football purposes because he feeds his number one wide receiver, like Stevie Johnson, Andre Johnson, and Hopkins, Kendall Wright. Do you guys remember that Kendall Wright had a season with 139 targets?
Wow.
That was it, not all of it was Fitzmagic, but it was mostly fueled by Ryan Fitzpatrick, Brandon Marshall.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, this list is going to be long because he's had a lot of different opportunities.
And I'll end it with Devontae Parker. He single-handedly resurrected the bust career of first-round pick Devontae Parker. So getting a true alpha wide receiver who can separate, has incredible speed. Like, Terry McLaurin is also a massive, massive winner, even with Curtis Samuel coming on board. And Adam Humphries, pronounced with an Humphries.
Yeah, no, I think Fitzmagic is kind of a standout in the winners category.
Good for you, Ryan.
I'm gonna echo kind of what we talked about earlier. It's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yep.
For me, when you bring back every single piece of your starting roster,
crazy,
and especially, you know, bringing back Godwin, it wasn't flashy for fantasy football news sake, right? He didn't get to go land in Philadelphia or some other destination that might have been more exciting for, you know, New York. But for Tom Brady, for Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, for this offense, you have the same head coach. You know what he's doing. You know what Brady can provide. Like, I think this is going to be a situation where you can just, it's like pausing time and just redeem another year of expectation.
Brady's been doing that for a long time.
It just feels that way.
You know, a lot of times teams, they don't know how to come back the next year after winning a Super Bowl and being the best, having the target on their back. But you're led by Tom Brady, who's like, this is just what I do. So I think that's great.
Think about what quarterbacks do with Bruce Arians in year two. I mean, year one,
sure,
non-Tom Brady year one, even Brady to an extent.
Oh, yeah, he had it like the first 25% of the season.
They struggle. They struggle immensely. High interception totals. They fall. Like, Carson Palmer's best season with Arizona was year two coming into that. It was just a transformation. And the short offseason last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
We had this weird offseason. Brady managed to overcome all that and become a champion again. And he could end up being the most overlooked fantasy option at quarterback in the entire league. And you still have his decline hanging over him, but he could be overlooked for redraft league.
He spent like the first four games of the season, and Bruce Arians was just driving the bustle over him.
Yeah, that was all. I remember over and over and over where Bruce Arians was just like,
got him.
I mean, he was not kind. No. To Tom Brady. But, and you know, I will say this, on the other side, he let him make a bustle joke.
It's
a thorny
and
bus.
You just let it go right through.
he didn't let it go. He chuckled.
It was good. I'll give you win. You win today, Mike. But they might lose their best wide receiver. Cuz as of right now, Antonio Brown not signed.
I was going to ask. So
you just say their best wide receiver?
Oh, I mean the best wide receiver.
Worst. I don't expect AB to be back, and you're calling the Tampa Bay calling for them the winners. How are you valuing for Dynasty Tyler Johnson, who, if AB is gone, Tyler is going to come in and be the number three wide receiver projection-wise?
Scotty Miller's still there, right?
Yes.
So I think Scotty Miller's still their number three.
You think so?
Yeah. I do like Tyler Johnson a lot. I think the team likes him. I just think that sometimes you can like a player and there can be no opportunity for him. And that might be the situation he's in. It might be the same thing as liking Gabriel Davis this year, but not seeing enough consistency from them to be valuable. And in Dynasty, you're talking about a quarterback change for Tyler at some point. You know, it's like Brady's, well, Jason's
You
saying,
mean like second contract when he changes teams? Because I've given up on the ever believing Brady will.
You've gone the complete. There is no end.
There is no end. He'll retire at 65.
The beginning of the beginning, as you might say. All right, so I like Tampa. No, the backfield's going to be interesting to navigate with Fournette and Ronald Jones again.
Oh, gross.
But you are one of those really famous people, Jason, the Fournette dynasty managers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, congratulations.
How'd you feel about the – happy you went back?
At the point that he went back, I was happy he went back. I had higher hopes, you know, that Seattle would make a run, or even that the
Buffalo.
Patriots or some team would pay him a lot of money. He kind of came back on the cheap, which says to me it's going to be a lot of what we saw last year, which is there's going to be Ronald Jones games, there's going to be Leonard Fournette games. It's going to be frustrating. So my combination of David Johnson and Leonard Fournette, not the best off season.
We got to get to the losers, but I'm going to throw out some other names. Justin Herbert got the O-line improvement this offseason. Jared Cook added to the offense after losing Hunter Henry. Daniel Jones, you brought up. Cam Newton.
Oh, huge.
Look, it is. They added pieces.
I don't think the pieces they added are good at all, but I think they are much, much better than what they had last year. So it is arrow pointing up.
Carson Wentz getting a starting job. Going to Indianapolis, having an opportunity there. Aaron Jones, you talked about. Chris Carson.
Big winner.
Huge
Big
winner.
Time.
Yeah, I mean, if you were a dynasty manager of Chris Carson, you were shaking in your boots. And now
yes, you were.
Get some established opportunity. Melvin Gordon with Philip Lindsay gone. Melvin Gordon and a really, really good defense in Denver. Their offseason has been outstanding. I feel like Denver is top three. I think people think we hate on them, but that's Drew Lock specifically.
Is Drew Lock still there?
Denver's offseason has been outstanding, and if their defense is as good as it seems on paper with Vic Fangio, Melvin Gordon will be running the ball 35 times a game.
And the Mike Boone signing is actually really good, I think, for Melvin Gordon, in the sense that they're not that might keep them away from looking at a day two running back or adding someone significant in the draft.
And then you had Chase Edmonds with Kenyon Drake being moved and no additional running backs there yet.
We'll see.
Corey Davis, Curtis Samuel, Nelson Aguilar's agent. I don't know if I feel like Davis and Samuel are neutral at best. I think they're both moves. I don't know if I consider them winners other than money.
I was laying out those numbers of Curtis Samuel could be a massive winner playing with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, and
of just being and don't hear what I'm not saying, as Jason would say, of like Ryan Fitzpatrick is not the greatest quarterback of all time. It's just his tendencies of over-targeting his top options.
I don't know if this Ryan Fitzpatrick and this defense is going to sustain three big-time options in that offense between Gibson, Samuel, and McLaurin. I would highly doubt that they put him in the position to do that with how good their defense is.
Could be. I mean, you had the year in Houston where Andre Johnson, Hopkins, and Arian Foster were all doing work.
Well, that's a fair comp, but not quite the same defense. Curtis Samuel leaving is a big winner situation for Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore.
Yep. All right, losers. Let me kick it off.
Yeah, we all.
Josh Jacobs.
Oh, man.
One of the biggest losers of the offseason. And you know, the truth is I think that situation is going to be an interesting one for fantasy players to navigate. Where does Josh Jacobs belong in a draft? But he's the biggest loser because the team said with this Kenyon Drake contract that we're closing the book on you being what fantasy players believe that you were going to evolve into, which is, you know, more Derrick Henry, less shared backfield.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the next chapter for Josh Jacobs. Now, I still think he has a chance to be undervalued in drafts because I don't know what Kenyon Drake's role will look like in this offense. But he's the biggest loser for fantasy football players, for dynasty managers, and just for the hopes and dreams that Josh Jacobs represented coming into this league. So for me, that's where it starts and ends.
Yeah, I mean, that combination, my biggest loser is the other side of that equation, which is Kenyon Drake. Because Kenyon Drake, say what you want about, like you just said, Josh Jacobs.
Two losers, one team.
Josh Jacobs could end up being a value. Kenyon Drake is the backup here. And it'll be split. They're talking about playing him at wide receiver. You know, he's not the veteran on the team in the system. He's the new guy coming in. So I think Kenyon Drake goes from a situation where last year he was pretty consistent for fantasy, just got so much work that even if he was not very effective, he was fine. And he could have gone to a team where he was the, you know, go-away starter. If he went to the Jets, sure, he would have had a great opportunity, but he goes and signs with a team where he is now really a change of pace back and gross.
Yeah, I mean, it's really going to be – we'll do all of our projections, you know, this offseason. It'll be in the UDK at ultimatedraftkit.com, and you'll see exactly what we stat out for these guys, and I am fairly certain Kenyon Drake's stat line is not going to impress. I mean,
how many carries would you expect right now as the team stands?
For Kenyon Drake?
For Kenyon Drake. Like 100 and...
I was literally going to say about 105.
Yeah, I see in the 120s. And that's just not going to get it done for fantasy.
Yeah, and he may not even hit that. He may be just utilized in more gadgetry, third down, passing situations, draw plays, you know, real fun.
And also their offensive line got decimated in free agency.
Yes, it did.
By themselves. Like, they chose to do this.
Yeah. Mike, your biggest loser of the free agency.
I'm going
period.
With the incumbents of the New York wide receiver corps. Yes, Golden Tate is out, but he was only about 14% of the target share. Sterling Shepard, meanwhile, last year, he was 23. He had a 23% target share when he was playing. Slayton, a 19% target share. You now have Kenny Golladay coming in. What's his target share going to be? 23% at the lowest?
25.
Like, you got paid to be that guy. So, yes, he's coming in. He is going to see targets. And then you have Saquon Barkley, who is back, which back in 20,000 or 20,000. 20,019.
You keep that conversation going.
That's when you go, when you switch from 2019 to 2019 in the middle. That's what happened.
You get 2019, which is still a ways off.
Yeah, that's
but he had a 15% target share in 2019. So, like, Shepard, maybe Shepard stays in the low 20s, but something has to give here. Like, Darius Slayton, it's similar to people's love for Gabe Davis.
If you want to know what can go wrong with Daniel Jones, look at a 23% target share and a 19% target share for his top two targets, and both of those players were irrelevant 9 times out of 10.
Sure.
That's the scary part about betting on Daniel Jones for Kenny Golladay.
Like Jason pointed out, you had an injured Daniel Jones, and you had some other players involved.
Yeah, I mean, he has to make the leap, without question. Yes. He has to go from a 3,000-yard passer to a 4,000-yard passer, and Saquon's going to help. I mean, if you want to make excuses for Daniel Jones, they're there. I mean, the new offensive coordinator last year got hurt and then lost Saquon. That is not a recipe for success. Stop fumbling and throw the ball to Kenny Golladay and let him fumble if he wants to. Just don't do it yourself.
Not my fault.
Other losers, maybe Lamar Jackson. I mean, all the big wide receivers said no thanks, as you said, except for Sammy.
Yeah, I wouldn't call him a fantasy loser. He's still going to be.
He doesn't need to throw the ball,
right? Yeah, it's not his thing.
And then is Jonathan Taylor a winner, loser, neutral with Marlon Mack? And then losing their left tackle.
It sucks to lose your left tackle, but Marlon Mack coming back with an Achilles injury, I'm going to bet against him.
I've got a huge loser that I would like to now be
Brian Ketron.
Maybe on level with. Well, obviously. It's Devontae Parker. Devontae Parker is a huge free agency loser.
Yes.
One part losing Ryan Fitzpatrick from the offense, and one part Will Fuller's arrival.
Sure.
And then the eventual one of these million draft picks going to another wide receiver. I mean, there's a chance that it's a Jamar Chase, it's a Devontae Smith, and then Will Fuller, and then Devontae Parker is sitting there going, you know, in his study at home with pictures of Ryan Fitzpatrick on the wall, remembering the good times.
He's the Wolverine meme.
It's one of those things
I think
where
Devontae Parker could be done for fantasy.
If I'm a quarterback and I drop back to throw the ball, and I've got a guy who can catch a contested catch in Devontae Parker, or a guy that's open, I'm going to throw to the one that is open. and that's going to be Will Fuller.
Yeah, I think they'll add a big name too. So Chase Claypool, I would say that is a having Juju come back with the amount of targets that Juju gets does not help Claypool.
Certainly hurts the, you know, the.
But did he lose? I mean, he just didn't move up. He was a presumed winner,
right?
Because all the expectation was that Juju was going to leave, but nothing actually changed.
I guess I see what you're saying. We all anticipated him being in the winner column.
It was a push.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you guys ready for our brand new Dynasty Download segment?
Oh, am I?
We got new graphics for it, too.
Woo!
Dynasty Download.
What?
Good job on that one, Mike.
Hold on a minute.
It's a little tamer than your usual drop.
Yeah, it's different.
What is this? Why have I been conspired against? Why did I work on a Sunday so that we can put that into the podcast?
Look, I have your real drop. I have your. Here's the truth.
Now the graphic.
Did you like the graphic?
The graphic of Jay Grizz playing dueling banjos on a guitar for some reason, and then breakdancing.
Well, look, I got breaking news for you. That was actually me on the guitar.
Oh.
We knew that this segment was coming quick, and I didn't. I'll be honest, I didn't expect you to work on a Sunday. And I knew we had it on Tuesday, so
I'm committed.
I wasn't sure that you were going to have it in time, and I wanted to fill in the gap for you, so I grabbed my guitar, and I threw it up there, and I got it going.
Dynasty Download.
It's almost as good as Mike's usual ones.
That forest in the background?
I mean, it really pumps you up. You know?
I thought this would be the official segment, but Mike, you did come through, and I'll hit the button now.
Dynasty Download.
The graphics are way better on yours, Andy.
What am I doing?
You're having a good time.
That is borderline not safe for work.
All right, Dynasty Download.
Goodness gracious.
Make sure to subscribe on YouTube. Show.
We're going to be spending some time. We thought it'd be fun to surprise you, Mike.
Oh, well, I'm surprised by both.
Okay, yeah. We want to spend some time talking about some Dynasty fantasy football topics. Some of these segments are going to be built around average draft position, movers, shakers, who's going up, who's going down in Dynasty startup drafts. Some of them are going to be built around kind of, I guess, changing opinions on certain players. And so today we're going to talk about some of the second-year wide receivers. Three players, Henry Ruggs III, Michael Pittman Jr., and Laviska Shenault Jr. Last year, just to refresh your memory, their ADP, Henry Ruggs was going off the board as the wide receiver 34, 78th overall. Michael Pittman was the wide receiver 40, and Laviska Shenault, the wide receiver 50.
Which makes complete sense.
This year, as of right now, after their rookie campaigns, Henry Ruggs has dropped all the way from wide receiver 34 down to wide receiver 52, which is the 120th off the board overall. And then Pittman's gone up two spots from wide receiver 40 to wide receiver 38. Shenault has gone up the most, wide receiver 50 to wide receiver 32. So he is going off the board six wide receivers ahead of Michael Pittman. I know he is my favorite between those two. But the rookie campaigns for these three wide receivers, I think in some ways, like Shenault's, it was solid, mm-hmm. especially for a team that went and pursued the first pick in the draft.
Yeah, Shenault showed on the field that he is an NFL player, that he can hang. And
most targets of the three, most receptions of the three, 58.
Yeah, when I look at these three players, Ruggs is last for me. That part is easy. Mm-hmm. I still don't believe that Ruggs will turn into something special. He'll be utilized. And I mean, part of this is when he was coming in as a rookie last year, I saw him fitting the mold of, you know, a downfield fast.
Derek Carr special.
Sure. Well, no. I just watched Kyle DeBoer-Gogan posted every deep shot for Henry Ruggs on the season. I watched those, and Derek Carr missed him on quite a few where he was open. But I just for fantasy purposes, I don't think he's going to be the type of player that I enjoy on my team. Where, okay, if I get a bomb touchdown, I'm happy. Otherwise, he pretty much let me down.
What about this spot that he's going in, though, for this year in Dynasty Startups? I mean, wide receiver 52 off the board, a significant 18 wide receiver drop from last year.
It's probably too low.
That's what I'm curious. Yeah. If Mike, you would...
I'm
redemption can be had for
yes,
Henry Ruggs?
It can be had. I'm with Jason that of the three, Henry Ruggs is third on the list for guys I want for my fantasy team, but wide receiver 52 feels like an overcorrection on the possible outcomes. He's still a first round pick. It's dynasty, right? Where things that feel like they are a forever situation can change rapidly. When A.J. Brown was drafted to the Tennessee Titans, it was a death sentence for his fantasy value. That changed halfway through the season, and he immediately showed, this is a top five dynasty wide receiver when you had no idea how to value him and you were scared to draft him. So things can change rapidly, even though it looks like they're locked in for years. So wide receiver 52 for a player of Ruggs' caliber and draft capital, I think is a little bit we're giving up too quick on Ruggs.
Now, Pittman is funny because you say things can change quickly. Things will probably change quickly for Pittman again because you come into this year. Last year it was very temporary. You knew Phillip Rivers was not long for the mm-hmm. NFL. Now you have Carson Wentz. There's no guarantees that he's their future.
Sure.
You also have T.Y. Hilton coming back on a one-year deal, so the imminent kind of ceiling for Pittman might not be, you know, he was 40 for 503 and one last year. Is this a player that you think has the potential to put up 75 receptions this season?
I do. I do personally. Pittman would be my number one of these three. Pittman, Chenault, then Ruggs. What happened with T.Y. Hilton and the contract, it's to me, just trying to read the tea leaves, it feels like the Colts were okay if they had to move on from T.Y. Hilton. Yes, you would want him on your football team, but they played enough hardball to say, no, you can come back if you want, we'll take you, but we don't have to have you on this team. And the way that this coaching staff and Reich, there was just like a recent comment about how he feels like he got a steal in the draft, getting Michael Pittman where they got him. He has the physical skill set, the size. Like, Pittman to me can be a number one wide receiver. And if Carson Wentz has anything left, if Frank Reich can get Carson Wentz back to anything remotely close to good Carson Wentz, then Michael Pittman is going to be a very solid wide receiver too.
I go Chenault, Pittman, Ruggs. Mike, you go Pittman, Chenault, Ruggs. Jason?
I lean Chenault first. I think from a dynasty outlook, you know, you talk about, well, if Carson Wentz can get better, who would I rather be the quarterback of my future wide receiver? I would much rather have Trevor Lawrence. He hasn't done it yet, but I think his future is brighter than Carson Wentz. And, you know, when you combine that with DJ Chark's contract situation, I think the future...
Jones is there right now,
could
too.
Could very well be... Right. I mean, you got to have wide receivers, but he's older. I'm from a dynasty outlook, I think that, you know, coming into 2022 and on, LaVisca could end up being a very, very highly sought after fantasy piece.
One last question regarding these three. Would you trade any of them for an early second round rookie draft pick?
No. No way.
Not even Ruggs.
No.
Third pick maybe, of the second round.
Maybe Ruggs.
I feel like
I like a lot of the wide receivers coming out, and they could quickly elevate over Ruggs.
I think I would keep all three of these wide receivers.
Ooh. Look at you,
Last
Jason.
Pick of the first round.
Last pick of the
Dynasty
first round?
Dynasty rookie draft.
Sure. I would trade Ruggs for...
Hang on to the other two with that pick?
I would.
Okay. All right. We do have some rookie preview shows coming up next week, which is going to help in your upcoming rookie drafts. And we have a dynasty week in May after the NFL draft, an entire week dedicated to Dynasty.
And if you're wanting to get into Dynasty and you don't know where to do it, we talked about the Foot Clan Leagues earlier, but you can go to footclanleagues.com and find people that want to start a Dynasty if you haven't played the format yet. It's a blast.
And we have added support for Dynasty Leagues with the UDK Plus and the Dynasty Pass that now comes with it. You get instant access to that at ultimatedraftkit.com. We want to thank Pristine Auction for supporting today's show. Saquon Barkley, a signed jersey right now is the current auction price, $40 at pristineauction.com, ends Wednesday night. A Dak Prescott signed full-size helmet is right now $60, ends Wednesday night.
Nice.
And there are hundreds of daily auctions. Pristineauction.com, use the code BALLERS to get a $10 credit. Guess we'll go with Mike's outro to the show today. I didn't record one. All right, Foot Clan, thanks for tuning in and listening. We'll be back with another episode this week. Take care.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.